Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Fireteam Chat, the first episode of 2019. CJ does not turn.
I have a new cell phone. So that's good.
Welcome to the first episode of the year, everybody. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Off to a great start.
Exactly.
And Stephen Rue.
What's up? What's up?
Guys, thank you for joining me in the studio. Problem. And thank you for joining us for this episode where we don't have a Bungie weekly update. So we kind of got together. We did a little bit of a stream last night. Myself, CJ, and Sean were all playing a little bit.
Yep.
You were streaming?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember. You were talking to people, and I was like, who is he talking to?
Asking the community what to talk about. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about what weapons we like. We're going to talk about what we're chasing, our favorite class in Destiny 2 and why, along with a few other fun topics to discuss within the world of Destiny. So let's start with the chase. What are you guys grinding for? Sean, we'll start with you because I know you were chasing a certain weapon last night. Which one and why?
Still am.
Oh.
I'm chasing Hammerhead, the machine gun from the Volunder Forge, because I haven't gotten Feeding Frenzy Rampage yet. I've gotten Feeding Frenzy basically every other combination that sucks. at this point. I did it 8 times last night and still haven't gotten it. The reason I really like this machine gun is, I mean, one, I love Thunderlord. I use Thunderlord a lot. I think all of us use Thunderlord
That's
a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But in PvP, it's hard to put on Thunderlord in competitive or quick play or Iron Banner because you're pretty reliant on Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
If you don't have Not Forgotten or Luna's Howl, which I don't. So I use Ace of Spades, which means I got to give that exotic slot to that hand cannon. So I'm chasing that Hammerhead.
Yep.
The people who have that Hammerhead machine gun, like, it's such a great machine gun. And so I've just been on that grind lately.
Nice.
Well, and what makes it special? Why is it powerful? Explain for people that may not know.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of it has to do with the perks, right? So Feeding Frenzy, you know, when you get a kill and you reload way fast. And then obviously when you activate Rampage, that decreases the number of bullets it takes to kill a Guardian in PvP from, like, I think it's either 3 or 4 to 2 when you have Rampage active, which just makes you that much more efficient. And for a machine gun where you have, like, a heavy brick is what, 35, 40 bullets or something
about
like
right.
that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know for machine gun.
Yeah, but like there's a good chunk. It just basically makes you way more efficient. So, and it gives you the potential to kill way more Guardians. So that's why I'm going after it. In PvE, I don't see myself using it all that much because, you know, when are you not going to use Thunderlord or I Have Thousand Voices or obviously Whisper? Yeah. So you're usually using those in PvE, but for PvP, which is what I'm, you know, grinding for right now, that Hammerhead is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been kind of doing the odds and ends on all of my subclasses that I haven't really had time to work on yet. Like getting my Warlock to 650 is one of my tasks for this week. And we were doing a lot of the weekly reset things.
Yep.
There are a lot of different avenues. Like the first thing I worked on was the black armor, black Armory armor.
Armor looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Really, I got a full set on my Titan. I want to make sure I get it for my Hunter and Warlock also. Yep. I think the Hunter set's probably my favorite. But yeah,
that's good.
So that was kind of like my grind. That's what I've been grinding towards.
No weapons specifically?
No weapons, really. I would like to get a good roll on Blast Furnace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have one with Drop Mag and Kill Clip. It's okay. Yeah. Like but obviously,
yeah,
it's probably the best roll I've gotten on that weapon. And yeah, so besides Blast Furnace, though, I got a pretty good roll on Hammerhead. It's not the one with Rampage, but I do have a Rampage roll, but it doesn't have Feeding Frenzy. Mm-hmm. You got to get that perfect balance between those two. So I got something that's okay, but I don't feel the need to chase a God roll because I have Thunderlord and I'm really, really happy with that. I get what you're saying about the PvP.
Yeah, and that's where I mostly am using it. Do you already have like the pinnacle weapons? Like, or pinnacle, the, is that what they're called? The crucible ones?
Yeah.
Not forgotten.
Yeah. No, I didn't Luna's do that. I didn't do that grind at all. I don't want to play comp. If anybody has watched me stream PvP, I'm sorry.
Last night.
I am not good at PvP. It is pretty rough.
Oh, you did pretty good. We played a few rounds and the one comment was my favorite. It's like, how do I watch CJ's angle? I was like, yeah, I actually did good. When Steven's there and Sean, we kind of compete for the top spot. So I like had a moment where I was like, yeah, Luna's Howl. But
I hopped in for literally 10 seconds yesterday, the best in stream. And the first thing or the only thing I saw was him shoot a rocket and it hit a teammate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, all right, I got the rocket lock on, a blueberry, boop. It was funny. Never seen that happen before.
And
I was
like, tracking rocket,
wow,
right?
That was impressive.
It was pretty fun. Yeah.
Impressively disappointing. But
it
was very fun.
I just unlocked Luna's Howl. It's pretty solid. I don't have Not Forgotten. And
what was the gun you unlocked? I think you mentioned it.
Luna's
times.
Howl. Have you guys heard of this weapon? Yeah. When I was playing last night with them, I was like, yeah, guys, this Luna's Howl, I don't know you don't have it. It's but it is one of those grindy things. And I agree with Steven. Like, comp is a bit of a grind. You do have to have the right set of people. But I appreciate those weapons are there. Not Forgotten is what? Like 54.50. So to actually get to that point to get Not Forgotten is the next thing in my brain to try to do. But comp anywhere above like 3,000 is super sweaty. It's crazy sweaty. So that's the goal. I don't know if I'll do it. But Luna's Howl is really good. Have you heard of this Luna?
CJ likes to bring it up every chance he can get.
That is good. I just got it, though. It took a long time. And I appreciate that the stats that you had carried over the seasons. Broadsword, actually, I almost have as well, too. So,
nice.
I'm like four bounties away, and then I can pick that up. But again, we were talking about it, and it's
mountaintop? Are you going to go?
No, that's the thing.
I won't get Mountaintop out of principle.
Well, so there you go. Mountaintop for me.
The grenade launcher.
Yeah, I actually have a really good play of the game with like Prox Mines and Snapshot and all that stuff. I don't mind grenade launchers, but I get from a PvP standpoint that they do feel cheap. I still think that that's an ammo nerf thing. I don't think that they should be removed. Steven, I know you've had the conversation where you're like, I just don't like the archetype in general.
Steven has said, and I quote, I wish they'd never been introduced in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, did you feel that way in the beta? Because I felt like in the beta that they were almost useless, but I don't know what roles we had in the beta. Like, I don't know how many times I would shoot one in the beta.
I'm pretty sure I've said on the show that I think it's impossible to hit people in the air with a grenade launcher. I don't know when that changed, though.
Oh, yeah.
Most people remember that?
Play of the game, right?
Yeah. The only thing I remember about the beta is the Warlock Rifts doing damage.
I was thinking, what this thing
heals and does damage. I'm gonna
crazy.
Be a warlock main.
But no, I'm not grinding for that. I mean, that's funny that you say that out of principle because it is one of those things. Yeah, I think the Mountaintop. I don't get killed by it that often yet, so it's other people maybe aren't getting it, or
I've seen a few people.
To be honest, it's not. The gun isn't like overpowered or like insane or anything. It's just annoying that like when you're in a gunfight and then you just get one shot, like. It's not that overpowered, but like when it happens to you, it's like, God, that's so cheesy.
Yeah.
I don't think they're very fun to use, the grenade launchers.
They're not.
They're sort of like you have the ones that'll bounce and then you can hold the detonate them. Yeah.
Or like there's – it's just depending on which grenade launcher you have, it's either easiest thing in the world to kill someone or the hardest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prox Mines is like you have to have it on there. But
does anybody have Anarchy, the one from the raid?
I got Anarchy, yeah.
Oh,
is that fun?
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But worse,
PvE, right? Probably.
Like you shoot a bunch of those mines on the floor and they connect and it's like I used it in Control and sometimes like when you melt bosses, but like I'd still rather have Thunderlord.
Yeah.
Or a Thousand Voices or a Spindle.
Or yeah. Or any Whisper. Any of the other ones.
Yeah. It's fun though. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. I just don't know if I don't know if it makes PvP better is the thing.
Like grenade launchers? Or?
Yeah, and I know I'm one of those guys who like fights for the purity of competitive experiences because I come from Counter-Strike, which has no, like everyone uses the same weapons, right?
Yeah.
But I can't think of, including Destiny, well, like I was just about to say including Destiny 1, but there were no grenade launchers back then. I just can't think of a grenade launcher that I'd love to use. Like, I don't think they're really interesting or fun, personally.
Play the game. I mean,
yeah, play the game with random.
But is that more fun than like?
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you remember the boot shot from Halo 2.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Well, yeah, but I like Halo 2.
I did not like the boot shot.
That's the thing. Most people didn't. It was one of those weapons that was there.
It looked cool, though.
It looked cool. But when you got into a confrontation with that weapon, you're like, because you knew that you could fire off like shots really quickly.
It was cool meleeing with it.
It was cool meleeing at the end.
It's like the blade. It was the proto Ikalos, dude.
Yeah.
But, what are you on the chase for, CG? You got your, what was the weapon again? I forgot the name.
Lunas Howl. Yeah. So Not Forgotten is the next thing that's kind of in the back of my mind, but I know that comp grind is going to be really difficult. We were talking a little bit about when you were away, the titles thing. Unbroken is the next thing I want to go for. That unfortunately requires doing, you know, that legendary in comp for 3 seasons in a row. And it sucks that I can't actually get that for that reason because I didn't do it for the first 2 seasons. But I pretty much have everything else almost unlocked except for that. So
yeah.
But yeah, titles are another cool thing. And I mean, Dredgen, I'm going for that one now too.
Mm-hmm. I'm not too compelled by the seal chase only because I think I have so many other things to work towards.
Yeah.
And over break, I realized like, Destiny does an excellent job of giving you these mini objectives to continually chase. And that's why I keep signing on.
Yeah.
Like we were doing, the Dawning event, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I found out that like, oh, I'm actually really close to unlocking all of the things for the bike to be fully upgraded, right? Like I was like 200 away.
Bike. Yeah. Do you mean the sparrow?
The sleigh sparrow.
And I know it's goofy, but I was like, oh well, I could level up my alts and I could chase the armor from Black Armory and I'm just gonna get rewarded for doing that anyway. I might as well finish off the bike.
Yeah. I knew what you meant.
But here's a question for you, Destin. Of all those things you're chasing, do any of them display outwardly to other players all the time in any activity?
There it is.
Because that's why titles are awesome.
The armor. Dredgen Finnegan.
Okay, well, the armor, sure. But
I do like titles for that reason. Sean's right. We were saying how there's this bit of a external pride, like, you know, inflate the chest, which Sean Finnegan seems to enjoy doing.
Yeah, which one did you get?
You know,
Dredgen. It was my name on Twitter for a while there too. Dredgen
Is it
Finnegan.
Not anymore?
Dredgen Finnegan.
No, I changed it because I was tweeting with Scott Derrickson and who I forget. Oh, Philip Lord, the guy, Chris Miller, Philip Lord, the guys who did the Lego movie. And I was like, I should change my name to my real name. So they're like, who is this Dredgen idiot? anyway,
Unbroken Finnegan.
I don't know. I think the titles are, to me, they're the most compelling chase right now because of that. They're exclusive, they're hard to get, and they sound really cool. And they display all the time.
Yeah.
Steven over here is 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
Four.
So is that what you're on the chase for, your last seal that you want to get?
I'm on the chase for – so I want the Rampage Feeding Frenzy Hammerhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want a Feeding Frenzy Kill Clip, Blast Furnace. I have Outlaw Kill Clip and Feeding Frenzy Rampage, but I want Feeding Frenzy Kill Clip.
Which one is Blast Furnace again?
You have Outlaw Rampage on.
I have Outlaw Kill Clip.
Okay, yeah.
I have Outlaw Kill Clip and then Feeding Frenzy Rampage, but I want Outlaw.
Was it your first drop?
It was,
actually. Oh,
but I want Feeding Frenzy, Kill Clip for PvP.
Yeah.
And then what else am I chasing?
You probably have the least of any of us to chase. Do you have Not Forgotten?
I do have Not Forgotten. Yeah. I do have Mountaintop now. I'm at 4,300 on Glory. So
wow.
I just need 1,200 more.
I want to get back to competent at PvP because like right now I'm abysmal and I would like to get to competent.
So the thing is like, I don't really like comp.
It's,
but when you're with,
yeah, it's players.
You're with a good group and you never get countdown, it's fun.
Countdown is, let's be real, it is the worst.
It's not fun. Countdown.
It makes it so
countdown
that.
Or survival?
What?
Which do you like?
I'd rather play survival.
I'd rather play survival.
Least.
The problem with countdown is like, you can either get a team wipe and win, and then you can get, you can do well. You can like get more elims than the other team, but like if they plant the bomb or whatever, like, did you know if you plant the bomb and then you guys trade, the team that planted the bomb wins?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like things like that. And then like, I feel like it takes way too long to defuse the bomb.
Yes.
And it, in a fast paced game like Destiny right now, it's.
So that's interesting you say that, because I don't think I've ever had a bomb explode and win. Like, I think it's pointless to try and plant the bomb because it doesn't actually force the team to go for a defuse, because you can defuse it basically every time.
Well, that
the way I look at it,
a strategy for me,
like the bomb timer itself is so long that,
yeah, you can go from each point on the map and potentially there doesn't seem like there's any.
I would actually love to know what the actual bomb timer is. Like,
it's maybe long.
Yeah, but it feels like it's an eternity.
They shortened it actually in one of the past updates, didn't they?
I think so, a while back.
Yeah, it was a while back.
I don't either. I just like don't think it works in a game like Destiny. Like,
it doesn't.
Like last season, we were running 4 Sentinel Titans, and every time we had super, we'd pop the bubble on the bomb and just plant it.
Yeah. So exactly. I wouldn't mind that as a strat if it works similar to Counter-Strike, where in Counter-Strike, you plant the bomb knowing that it forces the enemy team to come in pretty quickly and defuse it, because you can't just let it sit there beeping. Mm-hmm. It'll blow up and you will lose the round.
I would use that as a strategy because it would funnel everybody into this one space where you could, you know, have a bit of an engagement.
Well, that's exactly what the terrorists do, is they plant the bomb and then they do not engage, or they just watch angles. Like, it's the stupidest thing if you're a terrorist in Counter-Strike and you plant the bomb and then try and go fight someone, your teammate gets angry at you, because why fight? Like, they have to come to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Destiny doesn't force the enemy team to do that because the bomb timer is so long. Yeah. And I found, like, you can still just, they planted the bomb, it doesn't matter. Just still try and kill them anyway. Mm-hmm. We'll deal with the bomb later.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you kill them,
There's just too many abilities in Destiny for a mode like that. Like, if you plant the bomb and then stall for a bit and then just throw like a pulse grenade or a solar grenade on it, you can't defuse it.
Yeah. So it's just like, it also makes the defuse not a tactical decision, because guess what? You can defuse and shoot at the same time.
Yeah.
That is the stupidest thing.
But that's what people are
doing. How are you defusing the bomb if you're shooting your gun?
With your ghost. Technically, it's your ghost.
With your ghost.
Oh, that's even dumber.
I just don't like the mode.
But. Yeah. Also, it would, even a small change, like you don't alternate sides every round, like defend and attack.
But see, I think
that would be even more.
They did that for a reason, because when we were having trials, people wanted that. Like, I initially wanted that because it felt like, especially on Burning Shrine, there was an advantage to spawning inside versus outside. It was harder to see or vice versa, right? I did like that. But with Countdown, it changes it too much that it just, there's too many mechanics. I miss elimination.
The gameplay feels very broken up. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel very, Destiny is at its best when it's fluid and active and you're always doing something and always changing your direction of attack and defend and whatever on the fly. Countdown's very much like not that.
It's to the point, like, when you're flying in and you can tell what map you have. Some maps are always Countdown. It's just like you hear the entire Discord go like, God dang it.
So over break, there was a lot going on. Did you guys get a chance to play the Dawning?
Yeah.
Like, did you mess around with it very much? Did you do that chase for Avalanche?
I got Avalanche. I didn't do much else.
Did you get a good roll on it?
Yeah. I got Avalanche with, Feeding Frenzy and, I think it's Feeding Frenzy Snapshot. Not the greatest, but I mean, for me, I like to be able to engage that really quickly.
I got my Slide Shot Rampage roll, so.
Oh,
I'm
there you
set.
Go. There you go. Dirty.
Slide.
I really got that as a roll.
How many times did you grind it out?
Quite a few, because I ended up having all the essence, so I just baked Treats for Banshee and kept delivering to him, and then every once in a while you get it.
So, did you like it? Because from the comments, I've seen, like the actual, the oven baking and all that stuff, like a lot of people were commenting on the fact that they actually did enjoy that part of it and thought maybe that there was like a window to crafting or doing some kind of, weapon forging in that light or something like that.
It was interesting to me because, to me, I saw this as Bungie experimenting with the idea of crafting through sort of a fun event. And I was like, maybe they could do something here. Like, I could see this in the future becoming something bigger than just baking treats for people around the tower. This could possibly be a way to grind for specific weapons from each vendor or something like that. Yep. Like, you bring them something, and then they're like, oh, I crafted a thing for you. Yeah. But I would worry that it would turn into right now what's going on with Banshee, where I have 3,000 gunsmith materials that I just never turn into him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why? I have all his guns. Like,
you
I know.
Gotta, you should use those on the Ada mods.
On the Ada mods?
Yeah. Or yeah. you can buy mod components from Ada.
Yeah.
On the second page. A lot of people don't know that, surprisingly.
Dude, that second page, yeah. I didn't know it about, like,
there you go. Any, point any proven.
Any Eververse. No, for a little while, I didn't know it about Eververse.
There's a second page.
and I didn't know, what was the Solstice of Heroes thing initially as well, too? You had to tab over to get bounties, and you're like, yeah. What? There's another page? Yeah. And it doesn't make it super clear, but,
Yeah, small piece of feedback. When I finish building a weapon frame, don't make me go back to Ada.
Yeah.
odd quest step.
I honestly think, because when you finish a weapon frame, you get that frame and then you get that blue cube item.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's like a system thing. Like something in their system can't.
No.
You don't think so? Like,
no. Like you think it's like. And it's like a code engineering.
Yeah, like I don't
thing,
think intentionally they wanted us to go to Ada.
See, I don't know about that. I was actually talking with Teddy. We were playing a little bit last night, and as I was grinding it out, that's the only part of it that I was like, okay, I think we've talked about the quest step leading up to it, maybe not the greatest, but the actual grind of once you open up the forge and you do it again and again, that's the only thing I was like, oh yeah, it sucks. I got to go back to Ada and then go back to the forge.
No, it does
again.
Suck. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand.
I was thinking like, it has to be something.
It's
like
odd.
That, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard to have to like fly back there and
no, it's
turn
not.
It in.
So like you're standing by the forge.
More no, I get it.
Then you have to go to the tower.
Yes, that
then
is,
you have to fly back to the forge.
It's so hard to press M and just go to the traveler and
it's,
then press
you,
M.
You know
again
what? It's more about the loading times.
Yeah,
because like sometimes you get caught in that loading loop and you're just kind of like, all right, I'm gonna go do the forge.
I think it's more likely than it being like a code or a system thing. They're more just like, how do we get this NPC that no one even knows who she is or what she's doing.
But she doesn't even say anything.
But yeah, no, but she does say stuff. Like there was, I was standing next to her the yesterday.
No, not when you turn it in.
No, but I mean, like she says stuff. Like she's like, I heard you, or I thought you and Cade were, you must be very close. Like, I'm sorry for your loss. And so I was like, oh, that's.
Yeah, she says a lot of interesting stuff.
Heartfelt,
yeah.
I guess.
But it's like Fenchurch. You're just going to hear it day after day after day.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, okay. I got to tell a funny story while we're talking about that. My buddy Neko. The other day, we're just in Discord chilling, and he goes, who the heck is Fentress? Where have I heard that name before? And I laughed because I thought he was joking.
Like, yeah,
and I was like, you don't know who Fentress is? And he's like, no, what is that from? And I was like, it's Eververse's uncle. She always says something about Fenchurch, and he like subconsciously blocked it out
because never made the connection.
Yeah, and then he goes, "It's from Destiny," and I go, "Yeah,
yeah, dude."
Because when you're at the postmaster, it's all you hear.
Yeah, it's like, all you hear.
Fenchurch. You're like,
heard from Fenchurch today. That's funny.
And I just spawned into the tower.
Yeah, but
that's about how long it would have taken.
Yeah,
but it's weird. PC. I mean, this is us being a little elitist in that way. PC slow times are much faster. I don't know what it is on console. I would imagine they put the actual landing zone in that area for that reason, because it does just eliminate a little bit more of the time to actually walk over that section all the time.
Oh, Tata, yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird. Yeah, I don't know why that would be there besides, yeah, maybe being some kind of system functionality. That
I'm actually super excited for next week because we get the Niobe Labs. And it's so you know how you're talking about Ada talking. I got all the lore pages for the Black Army, and when you get all of them, she has like a little cutscene where she talks to you. And so if you don't know the story about Ada, her mother is the founder of the Black Army, and Ada used to be her daughter. Well, she is her daughter, but she got I think guardians attacked and like fatally injured Ada. So she turned Ada into an exo, and then the letters, it's basically a handwritten letter from the mom to Ada saying, you're actually my daughter. You were a human one time, blah, blah. And she has this realization, and she died in the Niobe Labs, and that's where we're going next week.
Oh.
And so like maybe her skeleton's there or something, but
that'd be super depressing.
Those are one of the Ahamkara bones.
Yeah.
Dark.
I'm just kidding.
And next week is the curse week. the strongest curse week, right, which means you can go to the queen
after again from the
snap.
And the last time we were at the queen, good old pulled pork.
Yeah. And then she was gone, right?
Yeah, she wasn't there. So I'm like, I'm actually pretty excited for Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like this kind of, this goes back to that sort of like in-game storytelling that we've been harping on.
Yeah.
Like it's actually pretty cool how they're integrating the story elements. Like it's light, right? Yeah. Like it takes some time to get there. And when you get there, you're getting like little cutscenes or sort of little pieces of the story, but they're pretty significant.
Yeah.
I like that. It's better than what we'd gotten before where, I don't know, in most of Destiny Year 1, in Destiny 1 and in Destiny 2 Year 1.
It was all Grimoire.
I mean, it was just, I don't think anyone had any idea what anything was about or what anyone was doing.
Yeah.
Or for why.
Yeah, I really like what they did with Forsaken with the continually evolving Dreaming City and these narrative beats that they've managed to string out for this period of time. Yeah. We just got the pulled pork cutscene finally that everybody got to experience. And I'm really curious where they're going to go with that.
Makes me excited for the future. Like the idea of a Destiny universe and story that evolves week to week and constantly so that maybe a year from now it's like in a wildly different place. Like that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it too, but I will call out Bungie though. Still, if you didn't read the pulled pork grimoire off site or read the card, would you have known that that was pulled pork?
Yeah.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
Also, if you didn't get all the lore tabs for the Black Armory, would you have known Ada was the daughter of the founder and that she was killed in the Niobe Labs? You wouldn't. So they're doing better, but there's still that disconnect, I think.
So here's a question for you. As like, you know, none of us are game designers, but like if something is desirable, so story, for instance, for your audience or for your gamers, isn't it better to incentivize them to attain that stuff through the game?
Yes, but
rather than put it in there just like a cutscene.
But for like the Black Armory tabs, it's all RNG.
Yeah. That does suck.
So it's like you're RNGing
your story
to find out about Ada.
Yeah.
In terms of Black Armory. The pulled pork thing, I don't know how you get that Grimoire card, but if you don't get it and you see that cutscene, you have like no idea what's going on except that Aldrin's alive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess that's not as important, but I think with the Niobe Labs and the Ada thing, I think that's a huge piece of information that you're missing out.
You know, there's a few investment in story, enhancement cores, which have been really strange and like odd design decisions that have sort of kind of confused us as players. Like tying story to RNG is bizarre. Like, why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you make it obtainable? But some of the stuff that they've done really well, and I've criticized Lost Sectors many times on the show. My favorite part of the Black Armory quest was when they reworked three of the Lost Sectors to make them more challenging, to add harder enemies, to add trip mines and such in there. And while it was frustrating, the strike mission on the third forge that was where it increased the difficulty and is almost – like you kind of have to play it solo because the only way to matchmake with somebody is they have to have that quest step. They have to be at that part in order to do it with a teammate. That one I sort of have mixed feelings about because I'm like, okay, well, like, yes, I like the challenge of doing it solo, but it seems odd that you would allow this, but only in this very specific instance. And there's no way to matchmake or anything for it.
Yeah.
But I can't, that one's sort of like a clean slate because they did sort of this weird thing, but I enjoy the difficulty of it. So
yeah,
it's not. I'm with you. I enjoy the difficulty of the quest. Same. It's just on the second and third time. It's just
yeah, the character thing. I actually was going to mention that as well too. Like after getting there and seeing just some of these different things on Nessus, I think it is cool that they got a chance to create these new. Because I do like that in games where you go by these areas and you're like, oh, was this here before? I didn't notice this. Or, oh, cool. Now I'm like in the middle of Nessus on these platforms and you're looking back and you're like, wow, this is kind of neat. And those little elements I think are really good. And if they lean more into those kind of things with the evolution of the game and the different worlds, it is cool because a lot of this, you didn't explore a lot of these worlds outside of the drop zone. Drop in, spare a location, go by. It is a nice way to kind of like look around and actually see a different perspective of the worlds and engage in some of the content.
Yeah, the whole Lost Sector thing is really important for me because to me they've been the most underutilized space.
Yes.
And the fact that you just run in, you melt the boss, and then you run out. I go to the Mars one regularly now for my Radiant Seeds when I'm powering up my weapon frame or whatever.
Yeah.
And I go to the old raid and get the yellow bars when I need 25 of those skills. I'm like, it's probably the fastest way to do it unless I happen to end up in escalation protocol like far along. And it's just kind of neat that I'm exploring this old content over and over again in a new way. But the positive is that they reworked Lost Sectors in a positive way.
Yep.
That they're utilizing old content, but they're making it interesting again. And that's what I've always wanted from their events.
Yeah.
So I was really, really happy about that.
Well, Teddy and I were talking about that as well too. Like that's, I think, the problem if we were going to go back and go, what are we missing in Destiny 2 that we don't have right now? And faction rallies, I think that was the challenge. Like the fact that you could do that stuff in Lost Sectors was the issue. Like Dawning, I think for the most part we enjoyed because as you're playing the game, you just got that stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had to go to a Lost Sector every time to just get Dawning stuff. Mm-hmm. That'd be frustrating. It feels like, you know, what's the purpose of doing this? So if they reworked faction rallies or something like that where you felt like you were just getting it or, you know, for your team whenever, I think it'd be a lot better.
Yeah. The final question, and we were kind of talking about this last night for fun, and I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts about why. Pick one class and tell me why it's your favorite in Destiny 2 specifically.
Subclass or class?
Like what character type? Hunter, Titan, or Warlock?
And then the reasons, with the class.
And your reasons, or like if you have a specific subclass that you really like. Because in Destiny 1, I was Warlock, and near the end of Destiny 1, I was Hunter. With Destiny 2, for me, I had to think about it for a while, but I think Titan is my favorite because of Melting Point, basically.
And everything's OP.
And that's the only reason. Well, actually, super-wise, I think the Titan is the least OP out of all the classes right now because of Hunter with the blade that can just go on
Spectral
forever.
Spectral Blades is so broken, dude.
And the Warlock that just does the Nova Novix explosion.
Yeah.
So I think Titan is my favorite just because of the versatility. I like the movement mechanics of the character the most.
Yeah.
And that I like using shoulder charge as a movement thing. I was really upset when they made it like rubber band.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that was a mistake. We don't even know why we did that.
Or like if you have downward momentum, you just go down.
Drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you're going down, I like that you can use shoulder charge and cancel out the fall damage.
To a point.
Really?
Yeah. Like in really, really big drops. Mm-hmm. Like
it'll still hurt.
The second jump from the top level of Riven all the way down to the bottom where you fight Riven, too long of a drop. If you shoulder charge at the last second, you've just been falling straight down, you'll still just hit the ground. Like, you won't die, but, like, it won't shoot you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite, Sean?
I am a Titan at heart. I was a Titan in Destiny 1 beta. I was a Titan all through Destiny 1 and Destiny 2. Like, I am a Titan. I am a Titan of the – what is it? The first pillar. That said, like, I played my alt was a Hunter in Destiny 1, and I have an alt Hunter in Destiny 2, but I don't play it all that much right now. I just don't have the time. But I like Titans a lot because, one, I think they've always had the most interesting exotics, like armor. Like, I thought in Destiny 1,
Twilight Garrison
was awesome.
Yeah. That was such a fun exotic.
It was so good.
Yeah, like, so Syntheseps in early Destiny 2. Now I love – I just got Heart of Inmost Light, which for PvE is really good, but obviously One-Eyed Mask. And One-Eyed Mask is so overpowered. This is actually a really good point you made up. You made on Discord the other day. But
What does it do?
Oh, One-Eyed Mask is a helm. Get this. If someone shoots you, like an enemy, like a PvE or PvP enemy, it marks them so that you can see them through walls and stuff. And then when you kill them, you get an overshield and bonus damage.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
So
you get bonus damage when they're marked, not after.
Yeah. So
like during the fight, you have bonus damage.
So this happens all the time. Someone will shoot me in the back. I'll jump behind a corner and I can see them now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I'll sit there and I'll wait for them to try and push me because they think they have the advantage, right? They shot me. I'm down. But I'm sitting there with a shotgun just waiting for them to pop around the corner and then I'll just bust them in the face.
But it does show that I think it says hunted, right?
It does say you're marked. It says marked for vengeance. So you should know that you're marked. Yeah. But the point is it's really OP. And it's so OP that like other OP exotics like Skullfort. What's that called?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, like
Insurmountable Skullfort.
Insurmountable Skullfort, another Titan helm. that's like a tier one, top tier exotic. No one even talks about it.
For a shoulder charge?
You get your shoulder charge and you get your health back if you're on a Striker Titan.
Yeah. Yeah. In Striker Titan.
Oh, I use it all the time. Yeah. I love shoulder charging everybody.
It's amazing. It's so, you can shoulder charge, get a kill, start it again, shoulder charge, get a kill. And as long as you get the kill, it gives you that stuff back.
Yeah.
That one's fun with a shoddy.
It's really, really good. It's also really good in Gambit.
So here, real quick, I want to interrupt you because when we say it's gross, my mind is thinking PvP. But these things are awesome in Gambit and PvE.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it is super fun to use.
Getting my shoulder charges as kills during that quest step for the, I think it was the third forge, you have to get 75 melee kills.
Oh, yeah.
It counts. Yep. So you hit during a public event and it kills like five enemies. It went by super fast and it was super fun.
Must be nice.
But then I did it on the hunter.
Hunters are just stabbed.
And I was like, thankfully Teddy told me, he's like, go to this lost sector here and that's your best place to do it. It was about three runs.
Four
like
melees thing, for a kill.
Yeah. The thing is like when you say gross, when you say imbalanced, overpowered, like it's actually fine in PvE because everyone loves to be overpowered in PvE, right? It's when you're fighting another Guardian and you feel like you couldn't have done anything to avoid getting wrecked. That's when it sucks.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Titans. I also, just like you said, I love the traversal mechanics of like shoulder charge. I love the movement. I like all of the abilities in all of this, in all of the,
what's your favorite subclass?
I mean, the one I run most is the Solar subclass, like Hammers, obviously, because Melting Point's just so necessary for PvE. And then in PvP too, obviously it's a shoulder charge, so it one shots anything. I mean, for those reasons. But even then, like all throughout Destiny 1, I thought Titans were the one class that all of their supers, all of their subclasses were good. There were times in have our little T-Rex arms. There were times when I felt other classes like had a definitely weaker subclass, you know?
Yeah.
So Titans never had that weakness for me. In my perspective.
What about you, CJ?
Hunter?
Yeah.
I don't have...
You've always been a hunter.
So here's the thing.
Ask him what his first character slot is.
Okay, I was just about to say that. So when Destiny 2 started out, I poured everything on console, so it was the way that I think it should be. Hunter, Titan, Warlock. And Destiny 2 for PC, I was clean slate, so I was like, I'm just going to try Titan right now. And then Steven's like, oh, but you're a hunter main. I was like, well, I'll just make the hunter next. He's like, yeah, but then the order will be messed up. And I'm like, oh my God, it is. And now I just like have PTSD about deleting the character. So I'm like, I have it in the wrong order. So
just delete it.
Even if I wasn't Titan.
Is it leveled up?
Level?
No, it's only like 300. I did level up.
Yeah, then what do you
call? You can skip the story now, though.
No, that's the problem because you can't redo it.
I've talked to him about Steven.
Why do you have to do it over again?
You can't convince him.
Because what happens is I want to play mostly PvP with these characters, but all these raids and other things that I would like to do. Also, you pretty much have to beat most of the campaigns with them in order to do them, and I don't want to do all that stuff.
No,
over
you get the
spark
item
light with
that,
one.
Once you spark skip light. It, right?
Yeah, with one. And so that's what I mean. I'm going to have to do it. Anyways, all I'm saying is I really want Bungie to create this thing on the interface that just allows you to order them.
Literally only
space.
You in the community wants or needs.
Whatever. I want it. Anyways, I made a Titan. I regretted it because in my Titan armor, I looked in the mirror and I saw a hunter. And so I'm a hunter for life. The Spectral Blades is pretty crazy right now. I always was a quiver. They called me the Quiver King. That was what I said.
Only really? You called Who? Yourself.
I called myself the Quiver King in Destiny 1. Yeah. Listen, Steven, you guys know what
I'm
talking about.
I would not call myself that.
No, they stop that. Stop that. Anyways, I feel bad that all this time I was quivering people in Destiny 1, I get like three shots because I love the feeling of that. It basically, please help the Quiver King out. Please make Quiver better.
Don't help the Quiver.
Please make fan art of the Quiver King.
Do not make
Quiver,
it easier for him to
Quiver
call
right now.
That.
There's some triumphs in Quiver where you can, it's like kill somebody 30 meters away.
Get a double kill with Quiver.
Yeah, get a double kill with Quiver. It's like basically you can't even kill somebody usually with direct impact.
That is kind of crazy.
And I don't understand it because in Destiny 1 it was perfect. You could fire it so far away. Watch it home around a wall almost to hit somebody. There's a shot of you and I playing Trials of First One. You can shoot, like, I think, six quiver shots. I was like 10 feet or 5 feet from the guy. I couldn't hit him. And I shot six quiver shots around.
The Quiver King, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but that's when they nerfed the auto tracking. Make Quiver great again. That's my I wanted to say that for the last year. Make it great. But Spectra Blades and Blade Barrage are both really good for the hunters.
Oh, Blade Barrage is excellent.
And all the exotics that go along with them that give you extra super, like Shards of Galanar. And then what's the other one?
Guishan's Vest.
Yeah, the vest there.
Is that the one
For Spectra Blades.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. I can't tell you. I've been playing a lot of PvP lately. I can't tell you how broken that super is.
But that's what I mean. Finally, though, because hunters typically haven't had like a super OP super where it's like long-standing traversal and then you can just kill everybody. It's always been, oh, you're a hunter, so you got to run away.
You're one blade dancer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll melee the guy, it won't connect, and then he'll kill you. So finally, like, I agree with you, it is an overpowered super, but at least it feels in line with like Nova Warp and some of these other supers.
Nova Warp also feels broken.
So here's my question for you, Steven. Mm-hmm. Are we about to get some Warlock love, or are you going to pick what I think you're going to pick?
I love all three classes.
Actually, I don't.
Really?
You play this game so much, I don't really know what your main is.
My main is my hunter.
He's a hunter.
My hunter is my favorite. It's my first character slot. but I like all three. I love the Warlock for PvE.
Okay. It is really versatile. Like, it has Nova.
Yeah.
Or Nova Warp.
Nova Warp is amazing. Yeah, it's called PvP. Nova Warp. It's amazing in PvP and PvE.
Mm-hmm. And then it has the lightning. I'm blanking
Storm
on
Trance.
Storm Trance for Gambit.
Sith Lord to the rest
Sith Lord,
of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Gambit.
Chaos Reach.
Chaos Reach. That's what it's called.
Oh, my God. Honestly, Chaos Reach.
And it's excellent in Gambit. Excellent
I love
Gambit.
All right, I'm going to give love to all the classes. All right.
And it has the well.
That's cheap.
Arctine with the insurmountable skull fort. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Sentinel you can dude, Sentinel amazing.
Dude, Sentinel Titan with Ursa Furiosa.
Oh, yeah.
You know that big-ass shield?
Yeah.
If you go into it, you get like the void. I forgot what it's called.
The thing that sticks to you.
It sticks to you and it explodes later. Yeah, if it kills someone, you and your teammates get health. Like what?
Yeah.
And then the Sentinel melting point is amazing, obviously. Ward of Dawn is amazing with the Phoenix Protocol chest. You basically have super constantly. Stormcaller is amazing because you're roaming and teleporting everywhere, blinking.
Yeah.
Nova Warp is cool, but Hunter's probably my favorite. I like the jump, and something about the rolling is really cool for me.
Oh yeah, I like the movement that they added in Destiny 2. They kind of had it near the end of Destiny 1.
Yeah.
With that armor piece that allowed you to roll, right?
Yeah.
What
was basically or no? Night
they
Stalker.
Just they added Night Stalker.
It was Night Stalker.
Yeah, Night Stalker was the only class I could roll. But for a while, I was using a dragon. Oh my God, what is it called?
For what?
The exotic chest piece for the hunter. It's called Dragon something. I think Dragon Shadow. But
right.
You reload, or you can do the roll that gives you your melee back.
Yes.
But it doesn't reload your gun, but with that, it reloads your gun too. So you're getting the Destiny 1 roll, but you're reloading your gun too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But my favorite class is probably the Spectral Blades.
Yeah.
They're broken.
Right now.
It's very good.
Like, I think in one match, I got killed by the same Spectral Blades like 3 times.
I could be in a super for like, probably like 2 minutes. Oh my
God. And you're totally invisible on radar.
Super
hard.
If you get a headshot when you're
crouched,
you turn invisible and you can see through walls.
Yeah.
Your smoke bomb does damage over time like Destiny 1, which is nice. And the exotic chest piece, the Guishan's vest, it's Korean, so.
Let's go.
Nice.
It's got the Korean logo.
So here's the thing. Do you think the whole like Spectral Blades thing makes you totally invisible on radar? Is that OP? Because I think that's the most OP part.
No, because it doesn't make you totally invisible. You're this purplish. You can see a Spectral
You can sort of see
on radar.
On radar. Yeah, but it's one of those things, again, where it's like it is a super. Like for all the traversal things that you guys have, like Titan and Warlock, because think about it. Titan can go so fast. So can Warlock. Hunters are never been they're the character that should go the fastest
but no other there's nothing else in the game that makes anyone invisible on radar,
but that's great because it's the one thing that we actually have as a beneficial, like, hey, I can dodge and then maybe you guys will all do a pool of raids or a shield and save yourselves.
You don't think it's enough to be like ultra durable and like near invisible to the eye and super fast and able to stay in the super for like 2 minutes. You don't think that's enough?
Finally. Thank you, Bungie. Yeah. I mean,
after like a year.
Exactly.
Of being...
We were nerfed into the ground. At
well, look, he does
Destiny
a little
2.
Twirl.
Yeah, I'll shoot him. Oh, he's dead.
Like, I'm a hammer titan. I was, I heard someone spectral blade and I knew it was right next to me. It was like right behind me.
Finally,
so
you're afraid.
So I counter super and I'm like, I'm going to throw, and I hit him with three hammers as he's running at me and he just like shrugs it off.
A spectral can survive a hammer and a Nova Warp.
But if see, it feels intense. Good though, finally, because that Titan sound, when you heard it in Destiny 1, you ran. Now in Destiny 2, you hear that Spectre Blade sound, and you're like, that's what it feels like.
All right, well, here I am. Bungie, the next thing you should do for Hammer Titans, make us invisible too.
And take us off radar.
Just throw invisible hammers. You can't see me. I'm not on the radar.
Invisible hammers. Balance.
Hey, then we want to start throwing our Spectre Blades at people.
Yeah, hey, man, if I'm invisible, I can do that. That's what I'll do.
Just even it out?
Yeah,
just even out the play.
That's balance. Right.
What's yours? What's yours? Is Titan?
Mine was Titan, and that is all of our favorite character types in Destiny 2. What is yours?
Last thing.
Yeah.
Was it, and I always need to do this because I would guess that it is. I always feel like it correlates with the character that you chose as your lead character for Destiny 1. So what was your first character in Destiny 1?
My first one was Warlock.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. What about you guys?
Titan.
Hunter? My first character is Hunter. The Warlock jump, I think, really is the issue, which is
I almost died so many times.
Warlock
the glass.
Jump.
That's the issue.
Worst thing.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
It's fairly bad. Like, in my mind, looking back.
And
like,
I died.
It's not bad.
They created self-res. When you fell off a cliff, you
They created self-res because of the jump.
No, it's not that bad.
No.
Quick note, though.
It works pretty well.
And I talk to this about Sean all the time. I want my Hunter to look the way I want it to with the perks I want it to.
Yeah.
I got the Black Armory set. I think it's awesome. Can't use it because none of the roles are the roles I need.
Yeah.
I need 2 shock and scavengers. Yeah. I got like auto rifle scavenger. Why would I need more auto rifle bullets?
Why is primary ammo finder a thing in the
Please answer me that question. My purse, if I have like transmog.
Has there ever been a situation when you're like, I'm out of primary ammo. I wish I had primary ammo.
I wish I picked up more pulse rifle bullets when I walked over a white box. Like, let me pick the perks I want. And why are some of the armor only mobility?
Oh my
god. Like, so many of them are mobility.
Yeah, exactly. What happened to Steven?
That was my rant.
It's a good one. It's totally true.
That's everything for this episode, though, you guys. Let us know what your favorite character is in Destiny 2, and we will talk about it and engage with you in the comments. Thank you guys for joining me in the studio. That's everything for this episode. First episode of 2019 is wrapped.
That's right.
Thank you so much, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.